Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 5, text 31. Taijasen indriyani eva. Taijasan indriyani eva. Jnana karma mayani cha. Jnana karma mayani cha. Taijasan indriyani eva. Jnana karma mayani cha. That's it. Others? Eva. Marajis? Anybody? Okay. Taijasani, the mode of passion. Indriyani, the senses. Eva, certainly. Jnana, knowledge. Sorry, knowledge, philosophical speculations. Karma, fruit of activities. Mayani, predominating. Cha, also. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The senses are certainly products of the mode of passion in false ego, and therefore philosophical speculative knowledge and fruitive activities are predominantly products of the mode of passion. Purport. The chief function of the false ego is godlessness. When a person forgets his constitutional position as an eternally subordinate part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and wants to be happy independently, he functions mainly in two ways. He first attempts to act fruitively for personal gain or sense gratification, and after attempting such fruitive activities for a considerable time, when he is frustrated, he becomes a philosophical speculator and thinks himself to be on the same level as God. This false idea of becoming one with the Lord is the last snare of the illusory energy, which traps a living entity into the bondage of forgetfulness under the spell of false ego. The best means of liberation from the clutches of false ego is to give up the habit of philosophical speculation regarding the absolute truth. One should know definitely that the absolute truth is never realized by the philosophical speculations of the imperfect, egoistic person. The absolute truth, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is realized by hearing about him in all submission and love from a bona fide authority who is a representative of the 12 great authorities mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. By such an attempt only can one conquer the illusory energy of the Lord, although for others she is unsurpassable, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 14. Okay. Can anybody quote chapter 7, text 14? Not Prabhupada disciples, bhaktas and uninitiated devotees. Anybody know 7:14? Good. Bhakti Devan? Yeah. Translation?
Say it again.
I don't think so. 7:14. This divine energy of mine. That's it.
Very good.
Om Agina Temeram Dasha Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurudeve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayamupakadamayam Vidati Swapadantikam. So here in the purport today, Prabhupada is saying how the best means of liberation from the clutches of false ego is to give up the habit of philosophical speculation regarding the absolute truth. And here, with submission and love from a bona fide authority who is a representative of the 12 great authorities mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's significant. And he points out in the first paragraph of the purport that the chief function of the false ego is godlessness. So I'd like to read something, an excerpt from a lecture Prabhupada gave, which gives us some idea of what this godlessness is. So here, this is a lecture Prabhupada gave in 1966 in New York. And he's describing the difference between the spiritual world and in the material world. So it says, in the spiritual sky, there are spiritual planets, and on each planet, the Lord is manifested there. There are innumerable planets. that information is given in the Bhagavad Gita. This is, and he says, just like here, in every country, every planet, there is a predominating personality. In your country, the predominating personality is President Johnson. That was the president back in 1966. Similarly, in every country, there is a predominating personality. Similarly, every planet, there is a predominating personality, Prabhupada says. So the same system is there also, referring into the spiritual world. But there is no rival. The personality of Godhead, there's nobody who's a rival. Just like here, the predominating personality, President Johnson, when the next election will come, there will be so many rivals. But in the spiritual sky, there is no rival. In the spiritual sky, the Supreme Lord is the Supreme, and those who wanted to become rival, they are put in this material sky under the condition of the material nature. That is the difference between the spiritual sky and the material sky. So that's godlessness, when you want to become the rival of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's understandable how somebody might want to become the rival or oppose in some way leaders here in the material world, because we could see leaders here in the material world, they're not enlightened, and I think it's fair to say that most of them, they take advantage of their positions. You know, they might be interested in the welfare of the people to a certain extent, okay, but they definitely take advantage of their positions to feather their own nest, you know, to improve their own situation. And therefore, it's understandable why people would, you know, want to be their rivals or oppose them or rebel against them. But in the spiritual world, it's different. Yeah, the spiritual world is a dictatorship. But that's okay. If you have a dictator who's enlightened, who's eternal, who's benevolent, and what else? And is in control of everything, no problem. I don't mind being in a place where a citizen of a place where the leader is that, and that's the situation in the spiritual world. Krishna, his Narayan expansions, they're eternal. He's the most enlightened person. He's totally in control of everything, and he's the ever well wisher. He's benevolent. He's benevolently inclined towards every living entity. So why become a rival? Right? Make sense? So, but we did. And that's why we're here. We wouldn't be here if that wasn't the case. So that wasn't a very intelligent thing to do. Okay? Which brings us to the next point. It's mentioned here, Prabhupada saying in the second paragraph about how the means of liberation from the clutches of the false ego is to give up the habit of philosophical speculation regarding the absolute truth and hear with submission and love from a bona fide authority who's a representative of Krishna, basically. So we should be, that's a reasonable proposal, you know. That's a reasonable proposal because we should understand that, as I said, we're not that smart. We're not that intelligent. You know, if we were, we wouldn't come here to the material world. And you could say, well, okay, you know, everybody's entitled to a mistake. We came here to the material world, but, you know, we're going to get out. But the thing is, our first birth, it describes in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 24, Text 58 in the purport, that we take our first birth as Lord Brahma. And then from there, generally speaking, what happens is, Prabhupada says, I'm just quoting right from the purport, we go down to an ant or a worm in the stool. So in other words, not only do we make the mistake of coming here in the first place, which was a big mistake, we're referred to the jiva soul is sometimes referred to as vibhinamsa. We're a type of expansion of Krishna. There's, you know, the personal expansions of Krishna, and then there's the separated expansions of Krishna. So we're among that. So right here in Los Angeles, right upstairs in that room up there, Prabhupada was having like a darshan or whatever you call it with that. And there was a professor there. His name was Professor Mize. And he asked Prabhupada the question, what percentage of the living entities come here to the material world? You know, because Prabhupada was describing, you know, the situation. And Prabhupada said 10%. And then he paused and he said less than 10%. Okay? So let's take that as a, you know, a figure. That means we're in the bottom 10% of the class. Remember when you're in school? And you know, if you were like in the bottom half of the class, you felt really kind of like, oh man, I'm a dumbo. But you know, imagine being in the bottom 10% of your class. We're in the bottom 10%. 90% plus of the living entities are niches siddha. They're in the spiritual world. They don't come here to the material world. So to start off with, we're kind of like among the really dumb ones. We came here to the material world. And on top of that, we've been here for countless trillions of years. Because Lord Brahma, our first birth was this Lord Brahma, okay? So we're all still here. You know, here we are. I mean, maybe some, it might be a couple people here who are nitya siddhas who just happened to be here to assist Prabhupada in his mission. But at least speaking for myself, as far as I understand, I'm a nitya buddha. I'm a conditioned soul. So that means I've been here for like a whole lifetime of Lord Brahma plus. And Prabhupada says in one purport in the Bhagavad Gita in chapter 10, text 11, he says, due to many, 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 many millions of births, the mind is always covered by the dust of materialism, but it makes the point, many, many millions of births. So we had that one full lifetime as Lord Brahma, and our Lord Brahma lives for 311 trillion, 40 billion years. So using that as a ballpark figure. So we've been here a long time. So not only did we come here, but we haven't been able to figure out how to get out of here for trillions of years. We've taken millions and millions of births. In a lecture in 1967, Prabhupada said, many, many Brahma's lives have passed, and still we are conditioned. So we've been here for many lifetimes of Lord Brahma. So, no, we're not very bright. So we should be prepared to take a humble position and hear from. Here's an analogy, just off the top of my head. Imagine you're in prison. What do you think would be a, and you want to get out. Okay, you're a prisoner and you want to get out. What do you think would be a smarter program? To be sitting in your cell all day long and calculating, you know, trying to figure out how to make a jailbreak, how to make a prison break, or to be thinking, well, maybe I should cooperate with the probation officer. Maybe I should just become really submissive and humble and just kind of do what the probation officer recommends. Which would be a better program? The second one, obviously, right? But so the conditioned souls, the speculators, you know, the people who are mental speculating, that's like the person who's thinking how to make the jailbreak. It's, Prabhupada says this is not the only purport, by the way, where Prabhupada makes this point about how, you know, by philosophical speculation, you're just never going to be successful. Prabhupada says the absolute truth is never realized. Not maybe sometimes you get lucky, but no. Absolute truth is never realized by philosophical speculations of the imperfect, egoistic person. In other words, you're never going to make a jailbreak. It's never going to work. You just better to become humble and submissive and cooperate with the probation officer, which is, you know, in this case, the representative of the 12 great authorities mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, ultimately Krishna. So that's a better program. Okay. So that's why this hearing, it's recommended. It's recommended all throughout the Bhagavatam. You know, there's many verses one could quote to that effect. So here's a question, okay? Is it true? Prabhupada says here, the best means of liberation from the clutches of false ego is to give up that habit of mental speculation. Here's, is it true? Well, what I could say is I could say that I think it's true. Now, can I prove that? Yeah, I can prove it. I can prove that I think it's true. You ready? Here's my proof. Does everybody know what this is? Yeah, this is, some of the newer devotees might not even know what this is because it represents outdated technology. But this is a folder that, and inside this folder, these are cassettes they used to be played in a tape recorder, and the Prabhupada's lectures, okay? And this is volume 70. So I had all of them at one point. I gave away the first 50, and this is the second. I listened to all of them. So this is proof that I think this is true, because otherwise what would I be doing with 70 folders of Prabhupada's lectures, and I've listened to them all. So I think it's true that this is, you know, the bona fide process to advance, to realize. And, oh yeah, and in the back here, this was done by a devotee named Godbrother of mine, Sringananda, and he picked, he selected just one excerpt from a paragraph from a verse from the fourth canto, which elaborates on this same point, and I'll read it. It says, the transcendental vibration from the mouth of a pure devotee is so powerful that it can revive the living entity's memory of his eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For a conditioned soul, therefore, it is very important to hear from the mouth of a pure devotee who is fully surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord without any material desire, speculative knowledge, or contamination of the modes of material nature. One may stay in his position of life. It does not matter what it is. But if one hears from the mouth of a pure devotee, he gradually comes to the understanding of his relationship with the Lord and thus engages in loving service, and his life becomes completely perfect. So that's one of many, you know, purports where Prabhupada says something like that. So, yeah. So this is our process. And it works. You know, as I said, I mean, this is proof that I believe that it works. And yeah, and you have, if you, when you do it, you get experience that it works. So I'm going to share a couple most recent experiences with you, and one historical, one experience that's continuous. So just a couple days ago, went back out on Sankirtan again after being ill for a couple of weeks, basically being out of action for a couple of weeks. So it was kind of like, you know, after lying around in bed and sleeping a lot when you're sick, you kind of get in the modes and, you know, you're not really on top of your game. So when I got out there in the parking lot, I was, you know, I was feeling like it. Initially, I was feeling like, whoa, you know, I guess it's game over for me. I guess you know, I've had a good run, but, you know, because I was feeling really like low energy and physically and not feeling very enlivened. And I guess, okay, I guess, you know, maybe I've reached the end of the line here. Is feeling like that. And I was really kind of like absorbed in that. Maya was really. But then I just thought, well, I thought, well, let me just keep trying. Let me just keep going. And I prayed a little bit to Prabhupada and to the six Goswamis. And then I approached this person, this lady, and it worked out she was a pastor's wife. She'd been a pastor's wife. She'd helped me for like 40 years or something like that. And she, you know, she was very active in helping him with all this stuff. And she had her, she had a little girl in the car. It was the daughter of her daughter. It's a granddaughter. Her daughter was an alcoholic, was a drunk, and lived on the street. That's what she told me. And she was bringing up the granddaughter. So I said, wow, you know. She told me her story. I didn't ask. People do that sometimes. They just tell you the whole story. And I said, wow, you're very, well, it's really noble of you. It's really good that you do that. Look, I want you to have these books because I gave her a whole stack. I figured, what the heck, you know, I had nothing to lose. So I just handed her a whole stack of books. And I said, you know, I want you to have these. You're a very spiritual person. You should have these. And she said, wow, really? I said, yeah. I said, you know, we just asked people if they could help out with a donation to help out, you know, for the printing. And she said, well, yeah, of course, yeah. And I, you know, had my phone with me, and I showed her a number on the phone, and she said, oh, yeah, sure, definitely, of course. I was regretting afterwards that I didn't show her a bigger number, but I showed her a pretty, you know, big number, and she took. So then, and right after that, I just felt like everything changed. It was, you know, it was like not only did the books go out, but like my whole energy changed, my whole mood changed, everything changed. And I just remember those verses in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, Neha brikama nastosti prachavayo navijite swampam api ashidharma shatrayate mahatobayat. In this endeavor, there's no loss or diminution. No, it's like, and Prabhupada explains in the purport that if you get to like 1%, your next beginning is a 2%. So I felt like Krishna was just kind of like, because I, you know, didn't give up. Krishna just said, okay, he just picked me up. He said, okay, it's okay. People get sick, you know, just bloop. And I just like picked me back up and put me back on the, you know, back in the game again. So, you know, that was like a far out experience. There, all of a sudden, I went from like completely like, what's the word? Feeling discouraged and no hope, you know? And then Krishna just, boom, put me back in the game again. But it was, as I said, it was more than just like a sale. It was like a transformation in my whole experience, you know, the way I felt, what I was physically, mentally, everything was just like, bloop, amazing. So that was 2 days ago. And then, and that kind of like, as I said, you know, made me feel like, it reminded me of those verses in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna talks about that. And then yesterday, I had a different type of experience. Yesterday was kind of, you know, felt some energy and I was going okay. But I felt like I got realization of this point in the philosophy. This is, okay, so in the fourth canto, Prabhupada says in an excerpt to a purport, he goes, a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always thinking of how fallen conditioned souls can be delivered. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, influenced by the merciful devotee's attempt to deliver fallen souls, enlightens the people in general from within by his causeless mercy. So particularly, I feel like I got, Krishna gave me realization of this particular phrase, how he enlightens the people in general from within by his causeless mercy. And, you know, it's talking about here about a pure devotee, so I'm not a pure devotee, far from it, but I'm trying to serve a pure devotee. See? So because I'm, Prabhupada's a pure devotee, and I'm trying to serve Prabhupada, you know, by going out there. So, I mean, the way I look at it is, yeah, Krishna's not reciprocating with me, but because I'm trying to serve Prabhupada, it's kind of like Krishna, an extension. Krishna's reciprocating really with Prabhupada. Anyway, yeah, there it is. Okay. So there's the example of Krishna enlightening the general populace from within by his causeless mercy. This, that person there, his name is Emrys. And we don't know if it's a man or a woman, actually. Ananda Kirtan and I couldn't figure it out, but whoever, whether it's, he was a really nice person. And as soon as I started talking to her or him, I'm not sure, but that person, well, let's say him, her, I don't know, I really, him. As soon as I started talking to him, he told me that he's a psychic and a healer, you know, he's totally into this kind of thing. So I said, wow, far out. And so I went back to the vehicle and I thought, well, this person could get more than a couple books. So we took out a box of Bhagavatams and we showed him the box of Bhagavatams, but he didn't quite have enough money. So we wound up giving him a whole set of Chaitanya Charitamritas. And, just made me feel like, wow, this is an example of Krishna enlightening the general populace from within by his causeless mercy. You know, this person was kind of, didn't look like they had the best karma, but so what? By Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And actually, I got the person's business card, and it says psychic, healer, witch, and crystal connoisseur. So Emrys thinks of himself or herself as a witch. And in Krishna's pastime, the witches had to get killed to get liberation. Putana had to get killed. But in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, they get the Chaitanya Charitamrita set, and they get, we'll keep in touch with this person. So, so that was realization of that particular purport. And Prabhupada himself was, felt that was how things worked. In a letter he wrote to, I think it's Sudama, back around 1972, this is Prabhupada speaking about his experience. And he says, "When I was alone in your New York, I was thinking, who will listen to me in this horrible, sinful place? All right, I shall stay a little longer. At least I can distribute a few of my books. That is something." And Prabhupada says, "But Krishna was all along preparing something I could not see. And he brought you to me, one by one, sincere American boys and girls, to be trained up for doing the work of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now I can see that it is a miracle. Otherwise, your city of New York, one single old man with only a few books to sell for barely getting edibles, how can he survive? What to speak of introducing a God-conscious movement for saving humankind? That is Krishna's miracle." So Prabhupada was thinking like Krishna's all along, we should be thinking like that. Krishna's all along preparing something that we can't see. We just have to keep the faith, hear and believe in what we're hearing, and try to put it into practice in our life, and wait, be patient. Krishna's all along preparing something we can't see. That's what Prabhupada says here, and that was the way Prabhupada understood his success. That Krishna, it was reciprocation from Krishna. And on that point, because I mentioned it, this is an example of an ongoing example. Everybody's, all services have their challenges, and so my service is book distribution, and it has its challenges. And there's quite a lot of times when I'll go out there, and I'll, be trying, and And, you know, it means I'll be full on enthusiastic. I'll be approaching the people and, you know, really trying, and just it's not happening. It's just, I mean, like it's, I mean, it's happening and then I'm trying, but no result, no books are going out. No people are taking, giving donations. And then I change one thing. I add one thing to the equation. I have this picture of the six Goswamis, which I carry with me. And whenever I can remember, which is most of the times, I actually have it right there on the table. And when that happens, I just start praying to the six Goswamis. Prabhupada says in the purport, there's a picture of the six Goswamis, and then underneath is the caption is a verse from the Anchalila, Volume 1. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, "I pray to the lotus feet of the six Goswamis, Sri Rupa, Sanatan, Bhatta Raghunath, Sri Jiva Gopala Bhatta, Dasa Raghunath, so that all my impediments to writing this literature will be annihilated and my real desire will be fulfilled." So in the Prabhupada's short purport, he says, if we adhere to the lotus feet of the six Goswamis and pray for their mercy, all impediments will be annihilated and the transcendental devotional desire to the Supreme Lord will be fulfilled. So for years, I've been on and off really taking shelter of this, and it really works. It really works. I've had so many days when it seemed like totally hopeless, and I just, by Krishna's mercy, I was reminded of this instruction, and I just started really just praying to the six Goswamis, chanting Bande Rupa Sanatana Raghu Yagoshi Jiva Gopalaga, and just praying, please give me your mercy. And then everything changes. And you might think, well, okay, Bhrigupati. But Devavrata, who everybody knows here, Devavrata Brahmachari Prabhu, so he's also Sankirtan devotee, and he's also experienced similar situation where he's having a really tough day. And he calls me up, and he says, you know, hey, I'm having a really tough time out here. What should I do? And I said, well, you're praying to the six Goswamis? And he goes, well, no. I said, well, what do you expect? You know, and I said, start praying to the six Goswamis. You got your picture with you? And, you know, so he does it. And then, and just to really make this authentic, what I did was I rang him up before the class, but nobody answered. Then right at the end of the kirtan, just before the class, he rang me back. And I said to him on the phone, I said, hey, look, give me an honest answer now. Can you honestly say that you've had days where you were really having a tough time and then you started praying to the six Goswamis and everything changed? And he said, yeah, why do you think I ring you back when that happens? In other words, so he'll ring me to start off with complaining that he's having a tough time. And I tell him, hey, pray to the six Goswamis. And then an hour or two later, he rings me back to tell me, hey, it's amazing. Everything's changed. Books are going out. I'm getting good donations. And he's experienced that a bunch of times. So, you know, must be true if it works. So, the conclusion is, I guess, that we should, as Prabhupada says here, hear with submission and love from bona fide authorities who are representatives of the 12 great authorities. Hearing means more than just like listening, although that is super potent. You know, even if you're just like listening to what the pure devotee is saying and nothing else, your conscience is getting purified big time. But if on top of that, you actually try to take it and put it into practice in your life. Like, for instance, here's an example. You know, it's an instruction. You heard the instruction. Prabhupada's saying, adhere to the lotus feet of the six Goswamis, pray for their mercy. So there's many instructions like that. So when you hear that and then you try to do it and then you experience amazing stuff happen. And it really kind of, that's how you make advancement in Krishna consciousness. That's how you become more convinced that this is really true. Krishna is really the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And you just become more and more surrendered like that. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have any question? Prema Sankirtan. Yeah, well, yeah, and I could do that too. Maya is very powerful. You know, Maya can get anybody at any time. And, I mean, look, Bharat Maharaj, he was on the platform of Baba. He was just like one step away from being, but he got tricked by Maya. So that could happen. Of course, those devotees, providing they didn't commit the hati mata, you know, the mad elephant offense of blaspheming the pure devotee, whatever progress they made, it's there, and they'll take up Krishna consciousness again at a later date, and they'll continue from where they left off. But, yeah, it's possible. It's possible. You know, as I was speaking, I don't know if you caught this, I said I've been doing this for years, but somehow or another, despite the fact, and this, I'm just telling you, like, speaking really honestly now, despite the fact that I've had numerous far-out experiences doing exactly what I told you to do, you know, describe to you, just praying to the six Goswamis, and then everything would change, and, like, you know, consciousness-wise, result-wise, and I forget, you know, and the next day I might not do it, or I'll come back and I'll be in another situation, and so it's Maya's very powerful. So, but at the same time, we just have to keep trying. But there's always that possibility that if when you relax and if you become complacent, then Maya can just cover you over again. So that's my understanding of how that's possible, that somebody could, you know, have Prabhupada's association and seem to be even doing well, and then they could go away because Maya is that powerful. But we have to just, but we, at the same time, she's not so powerful that makes it impossible, because then what would be the point? Nobody could become Krishna conscious. So we just have to keep, you know, pray that, let me remember these instructions, let me try to put them into practice, you know, and then we'll hopefully be successful. Thank you. Back to Emil. Well, the first Bhagavatam class that I ever heard, the person who gave the class, they gave this metaphor, it says that trying to become Krishna conscious in the material world, it's like swimming upstream. To swim upstream is hard. When you swim upstream, as soon as you relax, guess which way you're going? You're going downstream. So you have to keep trying, because you're right. What you said is correct. And you just have to place your faith and hear from Prabhupada, place your faith in what you're hearing from Prabhupada, and then just keep trying to just, you know, take shelter, keep practicing, keep, you know, just, it's like swimming upstream. You know, when you're swimming upstream, if you relax for even 10 seconds, the current doesn't take any time. It's just, as soon as you stop trying to swim upstream, you're going downstream. You know, so it's the same thing. We just have to, at every moment, practically, be rededicating ourselves and deciding again, no, I'm doing this. I'm placing my faith in what I've learned from Prabhupada. I'm chanting Hare Krishna. I'm going to do my service. I'm not going to, etc. I'm going to follow the principles like that. Constant rededication. And by doing that, we'll make advancement, and at some point we'll get to the point where it's we don't have to be doing that. It's like, you know, it's kind of like when you reach Raganuga Bhakti, spontaneous devotional service. I think we heard from Svasa's reading this morning about how, you know, in Goloka Vrindavan, the devotees are just, there's no regulative principles. There's no constant endeavor like that. They love Krishna. They don't have to be doing like that. But until we get to that stage where we're kind of, you know, beyond that impasse, then we have to be constantly trying to get purified. And then when we're purified, then it's just going to be, it's like, you know, riding a bicycle. When you're going uphill, it's constant effort. But when you get to the top, and then you're just coasting down, no effort. And you're going fast, and you just, you know, something like that. I heard Guru Prasad Swami give that example once. Okay, so thank you very much. Grandeur Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.